happened on that day. He said, one thing I know, new life he gave me, and oh, from darkness he saved me. I was forsaken till Jesus found me. I can't tell you how it happened. I don't know why he chose me. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. Ooh, ooh. After all he's done for me, willingly he bore my sin and paid the debt to buy my liberty. Why he loved me so, or how he changed my life that day. But because he did, thank God, I now can say. He said, one thing I know, new life he gave me, and oh, from darkness he saved me. I was forsaken till Jesus found me. I can't tell you how it happened. I don't know why he chose me. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. One thing I know new life he gave me. I know from darkness he saved me. I was forsaken till Jesus found me. Tell you how it happened. I don't know why he chose me. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see.
Amen. Thank you. Mrs. Jones, I must ask, does standing on your tiptoes help you reach that high note? Amen. Amen. Whatever it takes to get that, that's all right. That's a blessing. Thank you, trio. Open your Bible to the book of Psalms. Psalm 133, Psalm 133. Psalm 133. It is good to see you tonight, and it's good to see our dear friend, Brother Sheffield, able to be in our service. He's not been here for about 3 weeks, I think, and maybe one service in that period of time, and he is able to come out tonight for a little while. Make sure before you leave you walk by and say hi. Now be careful and don't hug him. Shake his hand carefully. We don't want you to hurt him. He's been suffering, and just let him know how much you love him and that you pray for him. If you're praying for him, tell him. That'll be a great encouragement. If you're not, don't lie about it. God will get you. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. If you found your place, stand, and we're going to read this entire psalm. Psalm 133. The Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I want us to look in particular to the statement made in verse number 1. The psalmist said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And that's what I want to speak to you tonight about for a few minutes. Unity among God's people. Unity among God's people. We know how wonderful it is in a marriage when you're together and there's unity between husband and wife and unity in the family, and it's wonderful and it's sweet and it's precious. And you know what it is when you lose that. But God's not talking just about a marriage. He's talking about His family. And I think it's applicable for us to say in this New Testament age, it's referring to His local churches, God's people. And the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Have you ever been in a home where the husband and wife and children are feuding, fussing, and fighting? It's not a pleasant thing. Years ago, I was making a soul winning visit, and I went up to knock on the door, and before I knocked the first time, I heard inside the awfulest fight. I mean, cussing between a husband and his wife, and I told my partner, "No need of us knocking on this door right now. We're going to leave and we're going to go make some other visits and come back here in a little while. Then we'll make this visit. If we knock on the door now, we're not going to get anywhere because they're going to know we heard." Have you ever been in a church where there was not unity? And there's a little group feuding, a fussing, and a fighting, and making everybody else miserable and uncomfortable, grieving the Holy Spirit of God, hindering the work of God. God said, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. I want to help our people. I don't want us to ever take for granted what you are doing here at Trinity Baptist Church. And I don't want any of us to be careless and allow someone with a critical spirit to raise up their head and begin to criticize and create disunity in God's house. Now, Lord, if there's people that's got questions about things and there's people that all have problems, and there's a way to deal with that, and it's not criticizing and talking behind people's backs. We need to be Christian men and women and go face to face in a Christian spirit and deal with our disagreements and our problems or have our questions answered. That honors God. That helps unity to continue. That helps Christians to grow. Help us to learn how to serve you without the devil getting in and finding a place in our life and hindering your work. Now help me tonight to bring this message. Help me to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and say those things only that would honor you and that would help our people. Help me, Lord, not to leave unsaid some things that ought to be said that might bring conviction in a heart that's not right. Now, Lord, it's not my job to convict, it's yours, but you use your servant to preach. And help us, Lord, to follow your guidance and preach the message you've given us to preach. And we'll thank you in advance for what you shall do. Help each of us to have enough walk with God and relationship in the Spirit to be honest about our own heart if there be anything in us that would hinder unity in the church. Help us, Lord God, not to be puffed up with pride, not one of us, but help us to be honest and humble and submissive to your word, your will, and your message. We'll thank you for what you shall do in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Anyone knowing anything about Trinity Baptist Church knows that for many years we've enjoyed unity here at Trinity Baptist. Souls continue to get saved. The church has enjoyed steady growth for many years now. And God's blessings have been evident to anyone with spiritual eyes to see. Every now and then, someone will begin to walk in the flesh and begin to criticize what God is doing here. God has to knock them down to bring unity back into the church. Unity is not a product of the flesh, nor is it the product of sin or this world. Unity is a product of the grace of God when God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit of God and are walking step by step with Him. Acts 2 and Acts chapter 4 says all were filled with the Holy Ghost. Both places, two different times. And then it says they were of one heart and of one mind. There was unity. When people are filled with the Holy Spirit of God and walk in the Holy Spirit produces unity from one Christian to another until the whole church is of one heart and of one mind. Now, our scripture tells us that unity among God's people is both good and it's pleasant. It's never pleasant to hear the critic criticize God's work or God's man. But unity is always good and always pleasant. Unity promotes the welfare of each other and not just ourselves and our want-tos. Unity promotes the will of God and not self-will. Unity promotes the success of those around us and not just our own success. Unity is illustrated by two pictures given in verse 2 and verse number 3 of our scripture verses for tonight. First of all, it lets us know that unity is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment. And what the psalmist is saying is that just as the anointing oil had a beautiful fragrance to it, when it was poured on Aaron's head and it ran down his head into his beard, it dripped off of his beard and soaked into his garments all the way down to the skirt part of the garment of the priest clothing. And everywhere that priest went, the fragrance of that anointing oil went with him. And God is telling us that unity is like that. Unity smells good. Unity affects everybody around you. It is good and it's pleasant to dwell together in unity. When you're in a church that is enjoying unity among the brethren, you can see it, you can sense it, you can feel it, and you can see the fruit of it. It's a sweet fragrance that's sweet to the nostrils of God and to the nostrils of Christians that are right with God. And by the way, the Bible says it was holy anointing oil. It was holy anointing oil. That holy anointing oil was consecrated to God. And so unity is the product of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we are consecrated to God. You see, God does not want us to consecrate a pot of oil. God wants us to consecrate our life. And when our lives are consecrated to Christ and we are filled with His Holy Spirit, there is not division. There's not one person wanting to do this and one person wanting to do that and the church fighting over it. No, not when there's unity. Because the Holy Spirit of God is not divided. He does not create confusion. The Holy Spirit of God creates one heart and one mind among God's people. And then the second picture that's given in our verses is in verse number 3. It talks about the dew of Hermon and the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. That land was a desert land, and it had no water. It was nourished from the dew that fell during the night. And the dew made it possible for that desert land to produce fruit. And so with the unity in the church, without the unity of God's people and the filling of the Holy Spirit, the church will be a desert land and barren. It will not be fruitful. Ah, but when we are nourished by the dew of Hermon, when we are nourished by the Holy Spirit of God that brings us together in unity, then it makes a church to be a fruitful place where souls are saved and lives are changed. Now listen, folks, there may be something truly wrong from time to time in a good church. And there may be something you don't understand and a question you don't have an answer to. Well, the way you deal with that is not to get you a little group of cronies together and start criticizing and finding fault. That's of the devil. That's not of God. You're not acting spiritual. You're acting in the flesh. You're an agent of Satan, not an agent of the Holy Spirit of God when you do that. The way to deal with it is go to the person and ask. If you have a question about something going on in the church, why don't you come and ask about it? You know, I'm not a man eater. I've pastored here for 22 years and I've never eaten up one person. You know, I've never killed anybody. I've not even crippled or hurt anybody. People have come to my office and we've wept together and we've prayed together and we've talked together and we've worked out things together. That's the way to deal with a problem. It's not, if you have a problem with somebody, don't go around and talk to 15 other people about it and criticize that person on your imagination and your opinion. Why don't you go to that person? Oh, but you say, I'd have to face that person. Yeah, it's easier to criticize. Well, I want you to consider five simple truths from God's Word about unity among God's people. Number one, unity fulfills the will of Christ for His church. Now, you go over to John chapter 17. If you know anything about the Bible, you know John 17 is Christ's prayer. It's before His crucifixion. He's praying to His Father in heaven. And guess what the primary thing He's praying for? Unity. Unity. Listen to what He says in John 17, verse 11. Now listen, this is eavesdropping on Jesus as He prays to the Father. Now that's a holy situation, isn't it? God the Son on His knees, praying to God the Father, sitting there in heaven. Now what's He praying for? He's getting ready to go to the cross and die for our sins. What is Jesus praying for? Is He praying for no pain? Is He praying for an easy way out? Now listen to what He's praying for. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, talking about His people, His followers. And I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. He's praying for unity among the brethren. Now you know we're a bunch of cantankerous, carnal sinners saved by God's grace. And if we're not careful, there'll be more of cantankerous sinners coming out in us than God. We've got to work every day to make sure that we are godly in our walk, in our talk, in our actions. But oh, let me say to you that Christ prayed for us that there might be unity among God's people like the unity between the Holy Heavenly Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the will of God for His people. Unity. Look at verse 21. Jesus still praying said, that they may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Now let me ask you, when is a church going to have the best testimony? When they're fighting or when there's unity? When is there going to be more power of God displayed in ministry in the church? When they're fighting or when there's unity? Jesus said the church is here for a witness in a world going to hell. And we've got to be more concerned about our little preferences and who we like most. We've got to be more concerned about our witness and our testimony in a world. Jesus said to be effective in a world. There must be unity among God's people. Secondly, oh, by the way, there's one more. Verse 22, and the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. See, God's presence and God's glory in us pulls us together and doesn't drive us apart. It makes us to have a beautiful testimony to a lost world. And it makes us to be a great encouragement to new Christians and weak Christians instead of becoming stumbling blocks and hindrances to them. Secondly, unity brings glory and honor to God. Unity brings glory and honor to God. Look at verse number 10. And all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. Christ said, I am glorified in My people. Unity brings glory to God. Wonder who gets the glory when there's feuding, fussing, and a fighting. Huh? I think it's old Scratch. The old devil, old Slewfoot. The booger man. If you've given him glory, there must be more of him in you than there are of Jesus in you. Jesus prayed that the glory of God might show through His church, and the glory of God shows through us when there's unity among God's people. Look at verse 23. Jesus said, I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Unity makes that picture of God's love and God getting glory out of the church. When people come to the church, they ought not go home with their feathers ruffled because of some Christian. They ought to go home saying, man, I felt the love of Christ there. I felt the presence of God in that service. Unity makes that possible. Thirdly, unity produces fertile ground for spiritual growth. Unity produces fertile ground for spiritual growth. You say, preacher, I wonder why these churches aren't growing. Feuding, fussing, and a fighting. Dear God, there's churches that fuss and fight over whether they're going to pay the light bill or not. That don't make sense. They've already used the electricity. Not to pay the light bill is stealing. If they voted to get electricity, they automatically voted to pay the utility bills. You know, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out, do you? Unity produces fertile ground for spiritual growth. I wonder why the devil is always stirring some Christian up about something that really doesn't make a hill of beans worth a difference. Because he wants to stop growth. He wants to stop souls getting saved and lives being changed. He wants to stop preacher boys being called to preach. He wants to stop young couples living right and building a home where Christ is preeminent. See, if he can create disunity in the church, he'll drive people away from the church. Many of them will never get back in church again. I'd hate to be the instigator of that. I'd hate to stand before God and have run Christians off because of my carnal, critical, worldly spirit. Oh my goodness. Unity produces fertile ground for spiritual growth. Well, I just don't like the way we're doing missions. Well, tutti frutti, how would you do it? What are you doing? Well, we got some missionaries that I don't know if they're winning souls or not. How do you know? You been on the field? Seems to me it'd be a whole lot better to pray for them, send them letters of encouragement, than criticize them and look for ways to cut them off. Well, we got some people that are doing that. Yeah, we do. I confess, we do have some missionaries that are not doing much right now. We've got some missionaries that have been on the field for 40 years. They are old. They're crippled. And they can't do what they used to do. You think it's right now after them giving all of those years to God when they need the church to cut them off? Huh? You think that's spiritual? You think that's of God? Absolutely not. It's not of God. Besides that, we've got some missionary wives who are widows. Their husbands and their wives have given their life on the mission field. They've given everything to God. They have nothing. Husband dies. We're going to cut her off? We're going to stop supporting her? Not as long as I'm breathing. That's just not right. That's not of God. That's not Christian. And we've got some missionaries that are just like you. They backslide from time to time. They cool off spiritually and go through a dry spell and have to go through a time of revival in their heart and soul again. God didn't throw you away when you got like that. Should we throw them away? Now you let a missionary go into immorality or paganism or heresy, they don't deserve our support. But we need to have some ethics and be honorable. Realize that we're going to reap what we sow. See, unity among God's people doesn't destroy people. It produces fertile ground for spiritual growth. And it may be that God is blessing us abundantly in tough times because we have cared for those that have given their lives. And they can't do much now. I know how it is to have your energy level drop. I know how it is to have your physical abilities wane. And you're going to be there one of these days. Better be careful. You might reap what you sow. Unity produces fertile ground for growth. It may be that God is smiling on us and blessing us because we've continued to help that little widow lady. We've continued to support. I'm talking about that missionary widow. He may have been blessing us because we continue to help some of those old saints of God that can't go up and down the streets anymore. Dear God, if the Apostle Paul was the missionary in some churches that cut him off because he was cast into prison, was there for 2 years. One time, 2 years. Hey, listen, don't be judgmental. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know how hard the field is. You don't know how different it is. If they are wrong with God, God will deal with them. But it's not our job to, unless they're in immorality and are teaching heresy. We got a mission letter from our missionary in Scotland. They've been there 2 years and had their first convert and first baptism. And they were shouting like it was 100. And it probably was equivalent to 100. You see, not every field's like Mexico right now or India or the Philippines. And by the way, Kevin Wynn, the first 3 years he was in Mexico City, baptized just a little handful. I think the first or second, first year he didn't baptize anybody. Maybe the first or second year is just a two or three. But now then, after all these years, it's not uncommon for them to have 500 or 600 saved in a Sunday and 300 and 400 baptized in a Sunday. Let's don't be judgmental. Let's be on our knees praying. Let God deal with those missionaries that are out of our sight. You see, when I give my mission money, I give it to God through the church. And I believe that when God said what the church binds on earth will be bound in heaven and what's loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven, God is saying, I'm going to recognize the decision of the church as you support missionaries. We can't see them on the field. We get letters from them from here from time to time. But God sees their every action. And they're God's children. They're God's preachers. You better not take it on you to try to deal with them. That's God's business. Well, let me get back to my message. Unity produces fertile ground for spiritual growth. In Acts chapter 2, we read the story of 3,000 people getting saved. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost that day, that 120. 3,000 got saved and they were baptized and they were of one heart and one soul. They were filled with the Holy Ghost again in Acts chapter 4. You follow the history. Jesus started out with 12 and then went back to 11 when Judas became the traitor. Then he sent out 70 and 120 on the day of Pentecost. Then 3,000 were saved and added to the church. Then 5,000. Then an amazing thing happens in the book of Acts. He quits using numbers. And he says a multitude. I don't know if a multitude more than 5,000. I don't know. But up until 5,000, he's counting them by number. And then he said, multitudes. And then he said, multiplied multitudes were added. Then he said, multitudes multiplied greatly. Whew. That all happened in a church or unity. It produces fertile ground for growth. The dew of Hermon made it possible for that fertile soil to produce fruit. And the Holy Spirit produces unity among God's people and makes the church fertile ground to produce fruit for Jesus. And that fruit is not apples and oranges, it's souls. Unity makes it possible for the Holy Spirit to work among us to produce fruit for Christ. To be the agent of discord is sin of greatest magnitude. This cord turns off the dew. It cancels out the power. And it results in churches being hurt and weak Christians being hurt. Let me get back. You know how long Judson was in Burma before he had his first convert? 7 years. Well, you'd have cut him off. Pray and Hide was there years before he had his first convert. And then maybe it was one a year. Then he began to pray and it was moved up to one a week. Then one a day. And then seven a day were getting saved and baptized. But it took place after years. I've got to get on. Unity is one of the evidences of a Spirit-led church. It's one of the evidences of a Spirit-led church, unity. Have you ever wondered why? I hear people say, well, bless God, you never get 100% vote in a Baptist church. And I know why. Because there's a bunch of carnal, selfish, worldly Christians not filled with the Spirit voting their opinion instead of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When there's Holy Spirit control and Holy Spirit produce unity, there's a one heart and one mind. It's not easy to vote for God and for under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Fifthly, unity in the church is prerequisite to great growth and great victories. Unity in the church is prerequisite to great growth and great victories. Hey, you got all the answers for building a church? How many of you built? How many of you started and established and pastored? I've got to be careful because I don't want to get like somebody that's not in unity. It does get your righteous indignation stirred up when somebody is trying to throw a monkey wrench into the work God's doing. Unity is the church. Unity in the church is prerequisite to great growth and great victories. You see, only when there's unity in the church is Satan bound. Only then will people desire to be present every service. Dear God, who wants to come to the feud and fussing and fighting church? How many of you like feud and fussing and fighting? Then why would anybody want to go to a church where that's all they did? New members are hurt by criticism of a individual. And they never come back. That's sin. That's not of God, that's sin. When there's unity in the church, the love of Christ can flourish among the people. It is good and pleasant for God's people to dwell together in unity. When there, Christians are so prideful today, we never want to say when we're wrong, I've sinned. We never want to say, I am wrong. We certainly don't want to say, it was me. I started that. I was wrong. Please forgive me. But it's right to do it. It's of God to do it. It's Christian to do it. It's Holy Spirit leadings to do it. It's biblical to do it. When there's unity in the church, multitudes outside will get saved and come inside and be a part. That's what happened in Acts chapter 4 and 5. Unity produces great strength and power among God's people. Are you trying to add to that power or weaken the church? Satan always tries to find one individual in the church in which and through which he can gain control to break down that wonderful unity. Disunity does not come from the outside. It comes from some person, membership in the church, maybe at one time influential, maybe one time strong Christian walk with God. But like all of us, we're sinners saved by grace. And any one of us can have a bad week, a bad day, can backslide, and if we're not careful, we'll give the devil a place in our life and sow discord among the brethren. And that's not of God. God hates it. It's hurtful, it's shameful, it's an abomination. Satan tries to find entrance. And he's going to try to find entrance through you or me. He tried to find entrance in Jerusalem through Sapphira and Ananias. God killed them. Why don't we shut the door on Satan? Why don't we every day get up and, as the preacher said in our youth conference, surrender our life to God day by day, yield to Him? Why don't we walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Why don't we choose to live by the principles of God's Word? Why don't we yield ourselves to Him and His will and be under the Holy Spirit's control? Here's what we do. We begin to compare ourselves to others. The Bible says when we compare ourselves among ourselves, it's not wise. We begin to compare ourselves to others. And we begin to think we're more spiritual than others. And then we find ourselves criticizing others. Satan's just found someone through whom he can work. There's every kind of Christian in this church. There's those that have musical ability and those of us that don't. There are those that can teach and those that can't. There are those that are blessed with the gift of giving and others who struggle just to make ends meet and give their tithes and offerings. There are those that are strong in prayer. And there's others that work hard at having a prayer life. There's some that have the ability to read the Scripture and commit it to memory. And then there's others of us that struggle to hide the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against God. There's all kinds of people here. But the one common thing that God intends to be in every one of us as Christians is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God that brings power and unity in the church. And by the way, peace in our life. God help us to learn to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. God, help us to learn to live by the principles of God's Word and not my opinion and my will. God, help us to yield ourselves to Christ and His will for our life. And God, help us to do it every day so the Holy Spirit can use us and make sure that there is unity in us in our part of the church. It is a good and pleasant thing when God's people dwell together in unity. It is a powerful thing and a fruitful thing when God's people dwell together in unity. It is a precious thing and a compelling thing when God's people dwell together in unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, Paul said to us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith. Are you endeavoring? I heard a good preacher preach on that this week. Endeavoring and not just trying. That means have a plan. Be committed to that plan. Work at it. Father, that's our message tonight. We thank you for today. We thank you for your precious power and workings in our midst. Thank you for souls that were saved. Thank you for people that were baptized and lives that were transformed today. Thank you for the many that came, that rode hot buses to be here. And thank you not only for them, but for those who cared enough to work on those hot buses and to make sure they came. Now, Lord, we have a lot of people working and praying and giving in order that this ministry might go forward. And help each of us to understand that the one job every one of us have that is the same is to make sure that I am endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith, because it's good and pleasant when God's people dwell together in unity. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's stand and we'll begin our invitation tonight. Would you come as God speaks to your heart?